Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the subject today, the issue today, peddling fear to control Americans. We're talking with our congressman, former congressman of District 1 in the state of Florida, Republican House member, Mike Hill. Mike is with us today, and we're bounding these questions about. We've got 2 other callers on the line, but before we get to those, Mike, just for a moment, let me say this. We were talking about earlier about the COVID vaccination and what's being forced, and I've said all of this is taking place to bring into submission to ultimate conditioning of Americans to bow and bend and compromise our Christian faith, our constitutional rights in order to get along in society as they're pushing us. Look at an article that says an Arkansas mother of 5 children fired from her job after not receiving the COVID-19 vaccination. "They really fired me," she said. Samantha Wise, a mother of 5, told the news media that she was fired on March the 3rd when her supervisors became aware that she was not going to receive the COVID-19 vaccination. "They actually did it. They actually fired me," she said. "I didn't think it was really going to happen." Wise said the vaccines make her uncomfortable, explaining that she has a history of experiencing adverse reactions to medicines. "I'm always the 1 out of 10 or so that has the bad reactions," she said. "I'm always the one, so I'd just rather not," Wise said. I don't have a good reaction with a lot of medications. "I just wish it didn't have to be this way, she added, saying that she wished her former employer would have permitted employees to make a personal decision about receiving the vaccination rather than trying to force them to choose between vaccine or their job. Congressman, how does that fit into the repertoire of what we would call constitutional rights and privileges and with the HIPAA laws in relationship to our personal health and health records? How do you respond to that?
That's right. The HIPAA laws state that you do not have to reveal any of your medical records, any of your medical conditions, and it prevents others from asking you about it. It prevents someone from asking, "Hey, have you been treated for a certain disease? Have you been treated for HIV or AIDS in order to gain employment? Have you received the COVID vaccine vaccination?" It is against the law for them to do that. And I hope that this young lady, this mother of 5, will be able to find a lawyer who will be able to sue this company for firing her and make an example of all those who would infringe upon her own personal medical history.
You're exactly right, and I believe we're on the fast track, and I've said several times on this broadcast and from the pulpit in lecturing and in preaching, I believe that it's time that Americans stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. I'd love to see a whole group right here in Jacksonville, right here in the state of Florida, right in your area in Pensacola, that would be willing to join in a class action suit against the businesses that still have the Gestapo methodology. I'm not wanting you to enter their building or their business without a mask on. It is simply conditioning Americans to be submissive to anything else that comes down the pike that the government wants to introduce to control us, and it's absolutely unconstitutional. Congressman, hold on for a moment. I believe we have Jeff on the line. Jeff, go over to the question or comment, please. Jeff, are you there?
Yes, sir. First, I have a question and a comment. The first comment I have is I am a veteran, and I am fearful that the VA would make me get that vaccination. But my question to the congressman is that, from what I understand, the Convention of States can only bring up one particular item at a time. Is that so? And if so, why is that? And I'll hang up and let you answer that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff.
Well, answering that question, no, that is not correct, that it can only bring up one item. That is the biggest fear that those who are against the Convention of States are saying, as the John Birch Society and others who are saying that if we hold this Convention of States, it will bring forth the ability for those on the left to change our entire Constitution. Now, those who are promoting the Convention of States are saying that it will only be for a single item, such as Florida. When Florida agreed to become a part of the Convention of States, they said that it will only be one article that will be brought up at that time. And some of the ideas that they are thinking of would be a constitutional amendment for term limits of those in Congress, for putting a ceiling on our debt, and other items. So, no, it is not right now where it can be for only one item, even though that would be the intent. Those who are against it saying, no, any number of things could happen to change our Constitution.
Yes, once the convention goes into play and the gavel is dropped, then it is open for recommendations to be made and for those additional things to be brought up. And you're exactly right. It's my fear that if we ever reach the threshold where we have the 34 states agreeing on a constitutional convention, that we'll literally eviscerate the present constitution that we have and modify it in such a way that we'll never recognize it as the historical document that it is today. And that, I believe, is on the fast track with the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party that they'd love to see take place. I believe we have Joseph on the line. Joseph, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Pastor, as you know, long ago, truth has no longer been equated with the Bible. Disdain for Christianity has quickly progressed into hostility and aggression. The source of the hostility is none other than a prideful and evil being known as Satan.
Satan
uses pride and narcissism as the carrot. He uses fear to paralyze weak Christians. Mature Christians know how to claim God's word and use spiritual warfare tactics. Pastor, the thought came to me yesterday that the reason for the tremendous increase in hostility to traditional American culture is that Satan knows or believes that America is beyond recovery. He believes the massive corruption and diverse evils of American culture has reached the point of no return. What do y'all think?
You could be exactly on target. One of the things that I've said, I'll respond, and then Congressman Hill can respond. I believe that we have reached the apex of success and prosperity and a blessing from God. But when we see turning our backs on Israel, as the present administration is doing, as we see having turned our backs on God, turned our backs on the Bible, we have rejected Christ, we've rejected the cross, we've rejected anything that's called morals and ethics and values. And when a key person like Jerry Nadler in the U.S. House of Representatives, at the response to a representative that is talking about what the Bible says in relationship to morals, ethics, and values, and Jerry Nadler makes the brazen statement that God's will has no place in the House of Congress, the halls of Congress. That is, I believe, a direct indication of our turning our backs on God as a nation. Congressman, what's your thoughts on what our caller has said?
Well, we've seen this before, Dr. Youngblood. We have seen before in our nation where they have thought they were at a point of prosperity where they didn't need God anymore. And at that time, we had a great awakening, a revival, and it was needed even a second time, a second great awakening. And I believe that's where we need to be now, Dr. Youngblood. We need revival in this land. We need another great awakening. You know, the nation Israel was warned by Moses when they were going into the promised land. Now, God is going to bless you, and you're going to become prosperous. And when that prosperity comes, don't say, look what we've done with our own hands, and therefore we no longer need God. And that's where America is now. God has blessed us so bountifully that many in America now believe it is done because of their own wisdom, their own technology, their own might. And that is why we are so prosperous and we don't need God anymore. There's a great
danger. Can I give an analogy?
And what we need to do is make sure that we do turn to God, that we do need revival in this land.
Yes. Joseph, go ahead.
I'd like to give an analogy of a boxing match. You know, in a major heavyweight boxing match, when the opponent senses that your opponent is weak or he's wobbly, about to go down, most boxers pour it on. They go after him. I think Satan is doing the same thing right now.
Yes, sir, you're exactly right, Joseph. Thank you so much for your call, for your input, for your insight, and Congressman. I believe that's exactly right. We're watching a major, major, major battle, and it's the battle between good and evil. It's a battle between God and Satan, but it's being played out in the hearts and lives of man. And as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 25 and 26, that a nation that's divided cannot stand, a home that's divided cannot stand. And so Satan is trying to divide, and in the division, there's the goal of Satan to absolutely undermine, tear down, or destroy anything that's good, anything that's godly, anything that's Christian, anything that would be called morals, ethics, and values in America. And I believe we're watching that. But as you said so pointedly and so candidly, is that we need a great awakening. We need a revival. In fact, Congressman, we go back to the scripture, and I know I'm preaching to the choir when I say this to you, but for the benefit of our listening audience, I believe that we can go back to the scripture and find any time there was grave repression, any time there was a major persecution and prosecution of the Christians, it brought about revival in the hearts and the lives of the people. Christianity grew as a result of the repression and the prosecution and the persecution of Christians in the first century church, and it's my prayer that we'll see that even today in the United States of America. And so, Congressman, I am thankful that we have an insight as to what God is doing and that we can look at it on the basis, as with Nehemiah in the rebuilding of the walls, when he challenged his people and says, our God shall fight for us. And that's the hope that we have today, ladies and gentlemen. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to have your dialogue, your discussion, your input. What are your thoughts about the conversation today? Congressman, not only do we see the COVID pass that's being pushed, the mask that's still being mandated, and the climate change fear that's taking place, but there's also another major fear, and that's being brought about today through the continual shootings that we have across America, what they call the mass shootings, what Joe Biden refers to as the mass murders, being and placing the blame on weapons and guns. COVID control is bad enough. Climate control is bad enough. But we're watching, I believe, the fear factors today that's being used in the populace by the socialist Marxist Democrats. I call it the new fascist government that's in place, and using gun violence to spew out the different rules and regulations, guidelines, and executive orders to control weapons. What is your take on that? What is your position on, do we need more laws, more gun laws? Let me postulate it this way, Congressman. If we had just one more gun regulation law, would it have stopped any of the killings, any of the shootings that we've seen in the past few months?
No, they would not, Dr. Youngblood, including the unconstitutional red flag laws that we have in Florida and that are also in other states. The red flag law says that your legally bought and paid for weapon and ammunition can be confiscated from you simply on the whim of an allegation made against you that you're an unstable person, that it can come from a family member, a coworker, or even a neighbor who says that you are acting in an unstable manner. Your weapon and your ammunition can be confiscated from you, and you must prove your innocence to get it back. We have that here in Florida. That would not have stopped the mass shooting that happened at Parkland School, where that law came from as a result. Instead, what we need to do, Dr. Youngblood, is not so much focus on the guns themselves, but the underlying factor behind these mass shootings,
yes.
which no one talks about. And there are two big factors there. Number one, it is always some depraved, distraught young man who comes from a fatherless home.
That's right.
There's not a father in that young man's life. Secondly, these people who commit these mass shootings were either on or just came off of psychotropic drugs.
Yes.
In other words, mind-altering, mood-altering, behavioral drugs that they were on that would cause them to commit these crimes. That's what we see. And a third factor there, Dr. Youngblood, that we are seeing are those who are radical Islamic terrorists. They think that they are doing something that their God wants them to do, and they will commit these mass shootings like we saw the young man in a grocery store. I forgot which state that was in a week or two ago.
Yes, and he was an Islamic either out-and-out jihadist or a sympathizer with the Islamic jihadist. But when we talk about the shootings, Congressman, as you know, and perhaps our listeners are aware, Chicago, Baltimore, New York, L.A., and other major cities across America that have dozens and dozens of shootings each and every week. Nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, nothing is being said by the fascists in Washington about that. But they're wanting to go after the legally owned guns. They're wanting to disarm Americans and take the weapons by confiscation. And yet Joe Biden says we're not going to confiscate weapons. But they've already, through some of the gun bills that they passed now in the House and it's being pushed through in the Senate, it will make ammunition so expensive for taxes. It will make weapons so expensive for taxation. It will make weapons almost impossible to get a permit to own one or to buy one because of the process that they're setting up now that will go into place. So when we see this taking place, it's just part of the puzzle, Congressman, as I see it, as I view it today, of the total control of a nation under a socialist, Marxist, communist form of government. Just simply let me read a list of things, and I've gone back and reviewed Karl Marx in his blurb overview of the Communist Manifesto in Karl Marx's position, and I've outlined about eight or nine things that I view in the Communist Manifesto that I find that is so disconcerting for me personally to see this being enacted in America today. Number one is to abolish the family unit. The Black Lives Matter, BLM, has nothing to do with skin tonation, but all to do with the three women that started it. They claim for themselves as highly trained Marxists. And the first thing is to abolish the family unit. Secondly, abolish individual rights. So there's no individual rights. Everything is simply the collective whole. Thirdly, to totally abolish anything that's called religion, or as we'd call it today, Christianity. Then cease to create... then continue to create some kind of division based on social status or racial standing. Working class would be against the rich and the poor against the middle class, etc. And then the redistribution of the nation's wealth, control of the medical care, abolish gun ownership, abolish the recognition of the past. In fact, Karl Marx played that up. You've got to destroy the past in order to build on the future so that no one can look back at the past, destroy the past, literally, so there'll be no recognition of history, destroying the statues and the destroying history in our schools, etc. And then to abolish the sovereign national borders. And Congressman, correct me if I'm wrong, but what do you see? I see all of these things taking place simultaneously in America as we speak. Is it possible, in your view, that we're dealing with a final attempt to overthrow the Constitutional Republic and to form a fascist type government where you still have capitalism, but it's a fascist government where there's a dictator rulership? Is that possible? We're on the fast track for that.
We are seeing all of those things right now, Dr. Youngblood, as you say, simultaneously taking place here in the United States. And the purpose, as you say, is to overthrow our constitutional republic and replace it instead with a dictatorship, tyranny, and Marxism. And you would ask yourself, why on earth would someone want to do that when history has shown us that it doesn't work, that it always ends in disaster? The reason we are seeing it, Dr. Youngblood, is because of sheer arrogance of those who want to implement it. They think they can do it right. They think it hasn't been done right in the past. And they actually believe that even now, China could be a model for the way it should be done. That China seems to be embracing capitalism so it can feed its communist government form of government system. And they think that that is a model that can be used here. The fallacy with that is that China is not doing as well as the press might be making you think.
That's right.
China is on the brink of having an economic collapse right now because a bureaucracy can never control an economy efficiently because they do not use profit margin as a measure of how well something is being done. Instead, it's simply done by dictate, and it never works. It cannot work because you cannot control human nature and human behavior. It is always going to resist being controlled by someone else. That's just the nature of man. Man wants to be free. The freedom that is put in him was put there by God. They don't want to be controlled by somebody else. And so the Chinese system will not work. It will not work here in America. And it is sheer arrogance that they would try. And we've seen this in history before, Dr. Youngblood, where someone thinks they can create a utopia and control people's behavior. It was trying to build a Tower of Babel. That was the same thing. We're going to ascend up into heaven. We're going to make earth like heaven. No, you're not. And God told them, you can't do it because of your sinful nature. It will not work here in the United States either.
Absolutely. Congressman, let's switch gears for just a moment. Across the nation, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of police officers are turning in their badges. Thousands are putting in the notification of retirement. And yet we find crime going up in some cities, major areas across America. Crime's gone up 200, 300, 400, 500% just in the past 90 to 120 days. What is the cause of that? What do we see on the horizon? You know, the city after city after city with the control by the socialist Marxist Democrats, they've wanted to defund the police, disband the police, set up some type of psychological community service rather than police officers. Talk with us, with our listeners, about what is on the forefront, what is happening with that, and where we're going if that is successful.
Yes, what we're seeing, Dr. Youngblood, are a couple of things. One, we're seeing the misguided fallacy of those on the left who think that if we can just simply reason with these criminals, that they'll stop committing so many crimes. And so we don't need so many police. We just need counselors. We need social workers who will go and reason with these folks and find out, why are you committing these crimes? And what can we do to stop you from committing these crimes? And that's just lunacy. There are certain people who are criminals. There are certain people who are incorrigible, who will commit a crime. We need a police force, a strong police force, to protect the law-abiding citizens. My son is a sheriff deputy here in Escambia County, and he likes being a sheriff deputy. He loves his job. And what he has shared with me is that we must have a sheriff who will stand behind, and we must have a community that will stand behind this police force, because if not, the criminals will rule the day. And we see that in any society, whenever you do not have a police force, a well-trained police force, you will find that people will do what is right in their own eyes. And instead, that's when crime begins to rise, as we're seeing in these cities across our nation, where they are being so foolish as to reduce their police force or handcuff their police force, and crime is rising like crazy.
And they're using the George Floyd incident as the rationale behind it. In fact, I believe that the police officer that was involved in the George Floyd's death, I believe that there was some wrong that was committed there. But at the same time, I don't believe that you can take three different charges of different levels of murder, find him guilty of all three of them, and yet the jury, I'm reading an article here, Congressman, alternative juror in the Chauvin jury trial admits fear of the people coming to her house, end quote. That's the title. An alternative juror in the Derek Chauvin trial in Minneapolis admitted the fear of people coming to my house if they were not happy with the verdict that we might render. But her acknowledgement shows a minimum that the jurors were likely aware of the possibility of violent protesters seeking retribution against all of the jurors. Quote, the reason at that time was that I did not know what the outcome was going to be. So I felt like either way you were going to disappoint one or the other of the groups, she said in an interview with the media. I did not want to go through rioting and destruction again, and I was concerned about people coming to my house if they were not happy with my verdict. Christensen said that she had already seen the video of Floyd's death before the trial ever started, and also she knew that the city had already given $27 million payment to the family. Quote, I kept thinking about the critical decision-making model that was presented. It was in the back of my mind about how they said that they would reassess constantly if it did not come out as they wanted it. Congressman, got about 45 seconds on the broadcast. How do you respond to that the juror said? Do you feel that the man got a just trial? Should there be a retrial? What are your thoughts in summary?
I think that he did not receive a fair trial. I have seen photographs of mobs of people outside that courtroom before the decision was even made. They were ready to protest if they did not get the decision they want. That is not a fair trial. Instead, we used to see that in the old South, Dr. Youngblood, that yes. When people were on trial for committing racial atrocities, that there would be a mob outside if it was a black person demanding that they be found guilty, or if it was a white person on trial demanding that they would be found innocent. So yes. He did not receive a fair trial at all in this case.
What you call mob rule. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us today on this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
July 295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.